Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx Radio. I'm Simon Clark.
And I'm Kiri Kermode. This week we hear from the past members and the present members of the Southern Young Farmers Club as they celebrate 80 years.
I talked to Nigel Taylor from the Ramsey and Onken Fur and Feather Society ahead of their rescheduled event, which is happening in Balaff in March. And also I speak to Laura Howe, marine biologist for the Manx Wildlife Trust, about the conglomerate of seals that are being spotted on the beaches around the Isle of Man. Well, finally, a bit of drier weather, Kiri. Everyone seems a bit happier.
Oh, wow. It's desperately been needed, hasn't it? Blue skies and a bit of still calmness around the countryside is very much appreciated after the wilds of it all.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, we talk about the lambing time of year and things like that. But, you know, farming isn't just about that, is it? There's lots of cereal crop owners and people trying to, you know, looking at when to get manure out and the land sorted, fertilisers, getting them ready for crops, cattle and beef cattle out. You know, it's worry for everything. Market gardeners that we heard from on last week's programme.
Absolutely. The land and the weather governs everything that we do. And I know there's been a few ploughs out in the south of the island, but very much on the drier ground. But like you say, it's all about timing to get the manure on, get the seed beds ready for the springtime. It's just around the corner. We're in March, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, the recent spell of reasonable weather last weekend led me to walk around parts of the Isle of Man. I was up at the Point of Ayre and, there were signs up saying, keep well back. And I looked over the top of the stones. There must have been 180, 190 seals on the beach. Unbelievable
sight.
To tell me probably what they were doing there, no one better to explain than Laura Howe from the Manx Wildlife Trust.
Well, firstly, Laura, what's it all about, this big group of the seals at the Point of Ayre?
So we've been seeing increased numbers of seals at the Point of Ayre now for probably about the last 10, maybe 12 years. And this is a potential shift from maybe another area where they may have hauled up, or it's an indication of increased numbers of seals around our shoreline.
When I walked there and seen it, I couldn't believe it because I see a lot of them on the coast road, you know, off the Jerby coast there. Then I've never seen them on the shore. They've always been swimming quite close and quite inquisitive. But to see, and especially when they were split into two groups, I mean, would that be the different types of seal, or were mostly the grey seals here?
So it's mostly grey seals that we have. We also get common or harbour seals here, but they're not common as the name would suggest. They're really quite rare in Manx waters. So generally the majority that you'll see up there are the grey seals. You might get the odd common that will be at the edge maybe of the group. But yeah, sometimes they just form two little groups or three groups or a big group and a little group. Yeah, it just changes on what mood they're in, I suppose.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of people there that were there fascinated by it as well, the same as we were. And the fact that you know, one of the people mentioned that, you know, is it like bees and things like that, or birds, where they all congregate together before they actually head off on a swarm or migrate somewhere? But not the case with the seals?
No, doesn't appear to be. They obviously they'll haul out together for safety generally, but they're there all year round, which is lovely to see. So if you're feeling brave and you head out when it's really stormy in January and cold, you'll see them, and you'll see them then in the summertime, during breeding season as well, into the autumn and things. So they're here all year round.
Somebody mentioned, are they on the shore breeding at this time of year?
Not at this time of year. Breeding is in the autumn. So this is just a regular haul out site where they rest and digest their food like they would anywhere else around the Isle of Man. But we did have three pups born at the Point of Ayre last year, which would suggest that it's becoming a more stable and permanent haul out site rather than a temporary site, because the pups are being born there. So it's really great to see that.
Is it because of the sudden depth that the Point of Ayre goes to, where they feel a bit safer, where they can go into deeper water quite soon? Would that have anything to do with it?
It could do, but I suspect it's more due to the fact that there's good food around the point there, because you've got those really good tidal currents bringing nutrients in and food. I think it's probably that it's there's a lot of food availability within the area, because you've got the Marine Nature Reserve, you know, on the east side, and obviously the other one on the west side. So there's afforded a lot of protection.
But you say about the numbers, it's something you've been keeping a close eye on over recent times, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Obviously, people had been reporting it to us. So the Ayres Warden had mentioned that they'd seen good numbers of seals around there, and also members of the public as well. So we've been using some of our volunteers to go up and do some monitoring up there to keep an eye on numbers, and obviously asking the public to report them in. So we know in the last sort of 10, 12 years, numbers have been really increasing on that site, and regularly over 100 are seen on occasion. I think you said it yourself, you'd seen two groups of 80. Mm. When we did our thermal imaging drone survey last year, we had 157, I think. So really good numbers up there. So they are definitely on the increase. And it's great that members of the public are also reporting their sightings to us from the point of air and around the island generally.
With the thermal imaging on the drone side of it, can you pick them up in the water quite good as well?
You can do if they're at the surface, obviously. If they're bottling, you know, when they're at vertical in the water, you can see the heat signature on the head, and if they're sort of swimming along, you'll get some of that, but mostly it's on the shore. They are really well camouflaged, so having the thermal imaging drone has been an absolute game changer in being able to spot them when they're hauled up. It's been really, really useful piece of kit, and also increased safety in terms of surveying and things. So yeah, really brilliant bit of kit that we've got now.
But for the general public who may be around that area or see them, what's the dangers of disturbing them?
So they haul up to digest and rest. Obviously, this is becoming more of a permanent site. I mentioned before that we're actually getting pups being born there now. So in January and this sort of time of year, they're finishing their molt, so they replace all their fur coat. So they need a lot more time on land to do that. So obviously disturbing them into the water during that time means they're going to get colder and expend more energy. Generally disturbing them, you know, at any time of year causes them to expend energy that they don't have. They tend to haul up at high water, stay there till the sort of tide comes in again. So if they're disturbed, they won't haul up again until the next tide. So therefore they're expending more energy that they wouldn't necessarily need to. And of course, this is hopefully going to become a new permanent site, and we wouldn't want to stop that happening. But of course, during breeding season, that's particularly important, because if there are pups around and there's a lot of disturbance and the mums are going in and out of the water a lot and leaving the pup behind, ultimately they may abandon the pup altogether, which we really don't want to see. So it's really important we give everybody space. It's the same as, you know, somebody coming into your front room every time you're in there and relaxing and asking you loads of questions. And so it's just about giving them the space that they need to just behave normally and do what they need to do, which is rest and digest food between foraging.
So what's next in the plan around the shores of the Isle of Man for a marine biologist?
So this year the we're focusing on the Western Irish Sea mud belt. There have been three temporary closures in that area that DEFA established a couple of years ago, and we want to do some work and look at those using baited remote underwater video, or BRUVs. So basically we have a frame with some bait on, usually mackerel, and a little GoPro camera, and we leave it in the water for about an hour, and it allows us to in a non-invasive way monitor what is using those areas. So we want to be able to count the number of, let's say, small shark species that might be seen there, or might want to count how many nephrops are in the area. So there's lots of different things. It's really useful to help us build up an understanding of what's using the area and what the abundance of those species is. So watch this space. There'll be some great videos coming out on social media in due course to show everyone what we can expect to see in our glorious mud.
Glorious mud. But, I mean, you do a lot of diving yourself. I mean, when you would show back these videos from the GoPros and stuff, how does that compare when you're actually in the water yourself with them?
It, you know, a video is not the same as seeing it in person, is it? But for those people who don't have that opportunity to be able to get into the water and see it for themselves, it's the next best thing. It's a way of reaching as many people as possible and engaging with the amazing marine life we have around the island. And, you know, we're obviously, I'm very passionate about it and I want everyone to care about the marine environment. But if you don't know what's there and what's worth protecting, then you can't expect people to want to help save it and protect it. So this is a really brilliant way of being able to showcase the amazing wildlife that we have on our doorstep. And you don't have to go to these wonderful far destinations and tropical islands to see it. We've got some incredible, amazing marine wildlife on our doorstep. And you don't have to go very far. Just go down to your beach.
Laura Howe, the marine biologist for Manx Wildlife Trust there. It was a sight to behold, and it's strange, you know, when I see them out the west coast of Derby where I am, you know, in the sea when you're walking on the beach, but very rare you see, you know, them on the beach themselves, and it was an incredible sight really. So, but just be careful, as Laura mentioned there, they're easily worried, and you know, you don't want to be frighten them and, you know, cause panic, you know, like sheep worrying in a way, isn't it?
It is indeed. You know, nature on this island, we're so lucky, it's right at our fingertips, but we've got to live together. What a sight it was for you, Simon, and for the visitors to the island.
Well, the Young Farmers concert is nearly upon us in a few weeks' time, Kiri, and obviously we'll be there as usual for Manx Radio. But Young Farmers from the south of the Isle of Man have got celebrating a big birthday.
A big birthday indeed. 80 years of the Southern Young Farmers Club, and what a celebration year to have. I caught up with the present chairman and secretary and some of the past members to hear how Young Farmers has changed and what is coming up for the year of celebrations.
What was it like growing up on the farm, Ray, especially in the summertime as a young fella?
It was quite good.
Well, on the farm, was it spent most of the time, or were you with other fellas?
We always helped one another. That was the thing in those days. Like, yeah, Tom Neen was up in Ballycorkish, where Kenny Gunn is now.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a lot more stuff done by hand then, I suppose. Like, you'll have seen down here now at Pool Vash, you know, the big tractor just gone past the window, and you know, it's a lot more mechanised now. You'll have seen an awful lot of changes on the farm. And
well, it was all horses to start with. When we were in Ballyblack, there was an uncle of mine. He was, I don't know what he was doing, but he was buying old tractors and doing them up. I can remember coming home from Avery School for dinner one day, and there's the tractor sitting on top of the hedge. father took it out for, I don't know what the harrows he had behind, but it didn't turn anyhow. But,
it didn't work out that day.
They were good days, really.
And what would be a favourite job within the agricultural community? What did you particularly enjoy?
Ploughing.
Yeah, ploughing.
I had an old boy, he lived in Colwy. He was I don't think he was ever married. And he used to come over to the level when we were over there. And he was a great horseman. So father said one day, when we went with the young fella and get him started to plough. So every time I take the, well, it was the horses to start with, but then the tractor arrived. So
it made life a bit easier.
It was for me and you.
Well, Cesar Kermode, you're chairman for the Southern Young Farmers, and this year it's a big celebration. It's 80 years of the club. Now, you were a bit of a latecomer to the party, only recently joined, and now obviously taking up the chairman's role. What does it mean to you?
It means a lot. It's a brilliant organisation to be part of. It gives you the confidence to be able to go out in front of hundreds of people on stage, or even with the stock judging. You have the confidence to be able to talk to that person directly and know what you're on about, and it really gives you the steel for the later on in your life, I find.
And that said, throughout the year there's so many events to get involved with, and looking just recently at the history and the nostalgia of the club, there's so many family names that are still involved, and you're also joined here now with the secretary, Niamh Oates. Niamh, you also, your family dates back many years with the Southern Club.
Yes, so my great-great-uncle was the first chairman of the Southern Young Farmers too. So to hold a committee position 80 years later and be from the same family is really special.
And now that family name is something else.
So I'm from the Taggarts from Balaan.
And I'm sure many of our listeners will know who that family is. And following in your mother's footsteps, she was very good at dancing in the Young Farmers. And tonight here watching you front row, is the preparations going well?
I'd say they're going well. They're definitely coming along. And I'm hoping that we're going to put out a really, really good concert in our 80th year.
And that is what it's all about. Caesar, what has been your favourite event in the last few years since being involved?
Concert is a very good one. It's very stressful, but it's good fun. It is good fun. But I would say one of my favourite ones would probably be the Stubbs Quiz. It's a good test of your knowledge, and it's a good variety of all sorts of things. It's not just general knowledge or anything like that. Anyone can do it, and they can gain points from it, but it gives people confidence.
And that's the thing with Young Farmers, they do so much for the community, Niamh. You get involved with lots of charity work, and this year will be no different.
Yeah, so we help in setting out and taking back in the safety bales for the Southern 100 course, and each year we hold an annual Christmas auction, which all of the proceeds of get split between two Manx charities.
And that there is huge amounts of money raised for not only for the club but for the Manx charities. And the work that goes on behind the scenes, you took on the secretarial role, it's a big commitment.
It's definitely a huge commitment. I probably underestimated the work that was required, but I think it's been very enjoyable so far, and I look forward to the rest of the year.
Well, I'm joined by two comics now at the end of the Young Farmers practice here at the Southern. Richie Creer and Philip Hampton, we'll probably put your proper name out there. Seeing the young ones coming through now, Richie, you've got a couple of ones in there, same with you, Hampy. How does it feel looking back in the Southern's 80th year?
Well, it's nice to see them all having a go, really. I've got my two sons and my daughter in it this year, so that's a full house for us. So, and they're enjoying it so far. So it's nice to see them having a go at it.
And have you given them any support or tips, given that you pair with the winning articles a lot of the time?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a job, really. When they're just starting out, it's like they're not too keen on doing much, so you're just going to try and push them into it a little bit, really. But they are... Yeah, they're keen. They are keen, like, so good on them. Good.
And what about you, Hampy? Yours are getting there. I heard a few bellowing voices coming from one or two of them.
Well, there's not much point in telling the butch because they don't take any notice of us.
But did they get a chance to have a look back at some of the old sketches? Because it's that natural basic humour, I think, is what wins it over.
You try to maybe show them the odd old video, but they still look at it as if we're all their relics sort of thing. They shouldn't be in it.
Well, they'd be right, I suppose. Yeah. It's their time now to have a go at it, isn't it? So it's we've had our time and enjoyed it. But I suppose times change as well, and everything's got to change, like, because we were probably a bit coarse what we done. So, like, you wouldn't get away with it now because people would take offence too much, like, which I think is a load of rubbish. You should be able to say what you think as long as it's not personal, sort of, you know.
And I don't think anyone really does take offence. It's more people, you've got to be perceived and be shown not to be saying certain things, whereas it's not too, you know, people generally don't take offence, but it's just the PC world we live in now.
Look, country humour is different to what a lot of people are used to, you know, so like it's a different ball game. Like, and people go to the concert, in my opinion, for the slightly coarse edge, and like double meaning and a bit cringy. Oh, somebody's having a go at somebody. And that's the way it should be.
There we go. That was members of the Southern Young Farmers in their 80th year.
Wow. That's incredible memories of when it started and how it's changed everything to this day, isn't it?
This is it. And like they say, the ethos has stayed the same. They want to do the work for the community around the farms and celebrate everything to do with the countryside. And long may it continue. So if you want tickets for that event, do get in touch with the Southern Young Farmers.
Yeah, and it's great to see some of them events that were originally brought in are still going, some of them, the quizzes and things like that, isn't it?
And this is it. So many people have come through public speaking onto great things. Well done to all of them for organising them throughout the year.
You're listening to Countryside here on Manx Radio with Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark. Well, the scheduled Fur and Feather show from the Ramsey and Onken Society before Christmas. Unfortunately, had to be postponed due to the bird flu. It's been rescheduled for the 15th of March, which is a Sunday, at a new venue in Bullaugh. To tell me more about it and how preparations were going, I spoke to Nigel Taylor, the secretary. Well, Nigel, another attempt to get you Fur and Feather show on the road?
Yes, Simon. Hopefully we'll manage to get this one on track, because we were hoping to have one at the end of last year, and bird flu unfortunately put pay to that.
Now, it seems that it happens around about the end of the year. Is that for a particular reason, Nigel?
Well, for bird showing, the winter is the best time, really. The summer shows are brilliant, but it's sometimes, the agricultural shows, it's sometimes different to find birds that still have their feathers on, because they're all starting to molt sort of towards the end of the summer. At the end of the year, young stock, they should be grown, and the old ones should have molted through. So the winter's the best time for showing, really. We've got this show sort of squeezed in at the end of the season, really. There's pressure on, people are wanting to start breeding now, but hopefully this show will go ahead and it'll be a good day.
But when you mention about the molting, Nigel, are all birds subject to this?
Yeah, all birds will molt once a year to lose all their feathers, and they actually lose the scales down their legs as well.
Really?
Which are, they're all kind of the same thing, scales and feathers, they're just modified keratin structures. So they molt them once a year. Wild birds do it, domestic birds do it, like wild mallard you'll see around. They go into what you call eclipse, where the males lose all their bright colours, so they're less conspicuous, whilst they molt fully and lose their flight feathers, because if they lose all their flight feathers at once, then they can't fly and they can't get away from predators. Chickens, sometimes you won't even notice, they'll lose a few feathers at a time and sort of go through it looking pretty good, and sometimes they'll lose the whole lot and look like a porcupine with all the new ones coming through.
But when you say about the mallards here, because a lot of the strange things in the bird world, that the males, a lot of them have the brighter colours, don't they? And do they lose that to look inconspicuous, to stop sort of conflict with other males? Is that the reason?
Yeah, that's right, I suppose. And with chickens, a lot of the time it's the males which are a lot more brightly coloured as well. But it very much depends on the breed. There's a huge variety of different breeds, and the females are just as impressive as the males.
Well, what sort of numbers would you put on the amount of breeds for like so hens and chickens and things?
Well, there's literally hundreds and hundreds around the world. In Britain, there's a lot of native breeds, some of which are quite rare now, unfortunately, and they're covered by a society called the Rare Breeds Trust, the Rare Poultry Society. And I've got a few breeds, Sumatra Game and Old English Pheasant Fowl, which are an old British breed, and little rumpless ones as well, which are a lovely little breed.
Change of venue, a new one for you this year. Of course, Sunday the 15th of March, it's all happening.
That's right, yes. We had to change the show date, so to get a hall, luckily our friend John Keenan at Bullaugh Bowling Club was able to get that venue, so that'll be great there for the afternoon.
Obviously, you had to move it, for, as we mentioned, from the end of the year, but are you lucky compared to other parts of the UK and Great Britain?
Yeah, well, there haven't been any shows, unfortunately, in the UK over the last sort of 6 months to a year. They were hoping to have the usual. There's two great big ones towards the end of the year, and they were hoping to hold one of those at least, but it didn't happen in the end. They did have an egg show, which gets people together and shows, just to show eggs. But it's and showing eggs can be very, very rewarding, but it's not quite the same.
No, I can imagine. But all in all, I mean, you know, you as a prominent sort of shower and breeder as well, it must be impossible to get things into the Isle of Man at the moment. Is there a sort of ban on movement of them still?
There's not a restriction on moving poultry in and out of the island, but it's these shows we have across. It's a great opportunity to go and meet people and swap birds. So we're missing that, really, the people who do that kind of thing.
But fame now for the Fur and Feather Societies, because you managed to get a few videos of the shows to let people sort of get a better idea of what it's all about.
Yeah, that was great. At the start of last year, James Franklin and his team from Culture Vannin came along, and they did. They spent the whole day there doing recordings with various members of the society, and that's fairly recently been put on their website. So, if you Google Culture Vannin Fur and Feather, you get to see this little set of videos, which are really good.
Okay, well, all being well, touch wood, the event happening on Sunday the 15th of March. Will it be the agricultural shows after that, hopefully?
Yeah, the summer agricultural shows, the Southern, of course, on the 25th of July, and the Royal in August. Our show on the 15th of March.
Secretary of the Ramsay and Onken Fur and Feather Society, Nigel Taylor, telling us about that. And Nigel was saying there's not been any in the UK at all. So
it's been very, very difficult times for the poultry keepers. You know, it's such a worry how their flocks are going to handle the avian flu as it sweeps through the country. We are very lucky, like I say, here on the Isle of Man with that stretch of water. Sometimes it can be seen as a negative within the agricultural community, but for prevention of disease, it is a little bit better. But you obviously, by air, you don't know what's coming.
No, you don't. And that event is going to be happening on Sunday the 15th of March, as Nigel said, at the new venue of Balaff Bowling Club. More details can be found give Nigel a call or a message on 472 257 472 257, and entries close on the 4th of March.
That's something to look forward to.
It certainly is. That's it for this week's Countryside. We're back next week with more. So until then, from me, Simon Clark.
And me, Kiri Kermode.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.